Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past 2 weeks, we had three posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. In the first post, we introduced a study where the authors found that high school football players, followed since the 1950s, had no differences in cognitive or depressive symptoms at about 65 years of age, compared with other men who did not participate in football. In the second post, we read about a study where the authors found that an athlete who sleeps 6.5 hours or less per night may report more concussion-related symptoms than when getting a good night's rest. Finally, in the third post, we learned that an athlete who specializes in sport is more likely to have a lower extremity injury than an athlete with a low level of sport specialization. If we take a closer look at the first post, we find that the authors followed almost 2,700 men who graduated from high school in 1957. Their goal was to identify the long-term association of playing high school football with cognitive impairment and depression. These items were assessed at 54, 65, and 72 years of age. For this study, they primarily focused on the data collected when the participants were about 65 years of age. The authors matched 834 high school football players to three groups of controls. The first included everyone. The second group then considered people who participated in non-collision sports. And then finally, they considered those that did not participate in any sport at all. Participants were then matched based on several factors such as IQ, family background, and educational level. The authors found that football players did not have different cognitive composite scores than all controls, or when compared to non-sport participants. There was a small effect found between football players and non-collision sport players. Football players were less likely to report depressive symptoms compared with all controls. In this study, the authors found that men who participated in high school football in Wisconsin from 1957 were not adversely associated with cognitive impairment or depression later in life. Though this is one of the first large longitudinal studies to follow people since high school with a well-defined control group, it should be noted that they were unable to assess for concussion history or athletic exposure. And by athletic exposure, we mean how many times they participated in games and practices. This may be relevant because these specific factors are likely associated with cognitive and mental decline. Therefore, future longitudinal studies looking to investigate football participation and its association to cognitive and mental status will need to include factors such as concussion history, position that they played, or whether they continued to play on higher levels, such as college. It's also unclear if we can apply these results to our current football players, because much has changed in football since the late 1950s. For example, the management of concussion, as well as the size of our football players. Despite these limitations, these findings are reassuring. Unlike other recent studies that have garnered a lot of media attention, this study is a nice example of a well-done study that offers new insights into the long-term health of our patients compared with the rest of the population. Medical professionals need to be aware of the strengths and weaknesses in these studies to be able to convey the information to parents and athletes to enable them to make decisions based on evidence and not hype. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. A recent popular post was an article where the authors reported that McKenzie method of mechanical diagnosis and therapy was slightly more effective than placebo for pain, but not for disability, in patients with chronic, non-specific low back pain. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice CEUs, then please check out our 6 online courses that are available through the Human Kinetics website. We'll have links to these courses, the posts, and the article on our podcast website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.